Anna, can you hear us now? Eva's nodding.
All right, let's be, okay, so we pledge allegiance. Let's go to public comments. Oh, see you. Okay, we have, I think, one that Val has forwarded. So, Dr. Marina, welcome to the meeting. It's good to see you, or good to hear from you.
Yes, good evening. Good evening, everybody. It's so nice to see you.
Χρόνια πολλά.
Καλή χρονιά. Χρόνια πολλά.
Happy New Year. The floor is yours.
Καλή χρονιά.
Καλή χρονιά, βέβαια.
Is the audio working? Can you hear us? Eva cannot hear.
Dr. Marina, you're muted. You should be able to unmute yourself.
She wasn't muted before.
I unmuted myself. Yeah. Okay. I don't know what the protocol says and what, if I can say something or if I should wait.
No, go ahead.
No, the floor is yours.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to join you today in this board meeting after so long because I've been reading about your achievements and all the great work that Odyssey has done over the years that I've been away. And although far, I'm quite far, an ocean away, I haven't stopped following your news and incredible achievements. And that's why I asked to join the board meeting tonight. I wanted to express my joy and excitement and tell you how impressed I am by the incredible accomplishments of the school. And when I say school, every time I say school, I mean the teachers, okay? Because school is not the building, it's the human beings that actually work for that. And I know that each one is working really hard for Odyssey. So I'm very moved to follow these accomplishments. And when I saw that you got the charter expansion approval for 10 years, that was really impressive. And the YAS Prize Top Award, and the most recent Longun Foundation grant. All these are a great testament to the incredible work you're doing. And I'm really moved about what has been done at the school the past 5 years that I've been away. And I know that nothing would have been achieved without your hard work and support and love for your students. And I really feel that, and I'm saying that in a very positive spirit because things were very different in the past, I know, but such achievements foster the community spirit. And I'm sure that it will motivate you to work harder, to aim higher, to become prouder of who you are. And I'm sure that more will follow. I'm very positive about that. So I just wanted to share this with you and tell you how proud I am. And although I cannot see you, I cannot be there, I hope I will be able to visit at some point. I'm really, really happy to observe all these positive developments. And thank you for having me tonight with you.
Thank you for staying up, Marina, up to 1 o'clock in
yes,
the morning.
Yes, I'm... The night is young. It's okay.
I can't believe it's been that many years. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Are there any other public comments either up here or on the Zoom? Okay. Thanks again. We will move on. Okay, so prior minutes. Did Jules circulate those yet?
I don't remember.
Okay. All right, we'll have to catch that up. So Jill couldn't meet this meeting, so we will catch that up next time. Head of school report.
We're going to share Jeff's.
That's November.
What's? All right, but yeah, happy new year. Has schools report really try to make it a little bit concise today as well. What to expect at this time? The turf field, they're finishing the fencing, the paving, and ancillary equipment. And we have even seen some goals up and stuff like that. So, really excited. It's really, really the finish line now. So, that's great. Finally to achieve that goal. The elevator is awaiting the fire marshal clearance. So building 23 elevators will be done pretty soon. And building 27, the cleanup prep for the construction is what's been happening. Jeff is going to provide a more detailed update on how we're really progressing on that. The progress has been quite tremendous and a testament to all of those working on that project. They've done a great job. The school is also continuing its focus on making sure that our strategic small group sessions are functioning and they're up and running now. And the school administrative teams are also reviewing schedules and transitions to make sure that they're able to accomplish these things. As we move into January, we start to look at what's going to happen in the coming months, which is testing season. It starts in March, unfortunately, for the kiddos. So there's a lot of preparation in a short amount of time. So we have that as a major goal, making sure we provide the resources for them to do well. Our leadership seminars are going to be starting for this semester. The leadership seminar is something that's new to Odyssey. And we have 25 staff members that are enrolled. This is an opportunity for people who want to look into becoming leaders in the school, to take on specific projects for the school and then follow them to their execution and implementation. Like I said, there's 25 current staff members enrolled. We will start the meetings this month, and it comes from all facets of operation and non-operational staff and teaching staff, everybody. So it's a really diverse group. And the intention is going to be initially to provide a series of lectures, which allows these individuals to have a better idea of the bird's eye view of how the operation of a school structure of this size works. So they'll hear about finance, they'll hear about operation, they'll hear about transportation, about food service, about the academic program, about all these different things. And then using their expertise that they're in, they will carry on a special project for us this year and be the lead on that. That becomes a really nice resume builder for them and gives them the experience they need so they can start to bridge that gap. And take on more leadership roles in the school. So we're really excited about that. Goal three, which is our recruitment component, the gala, of course, is our chief focus right now. And I'm sure some of you are already getting tired of the messaging that's coming out, but it's almost daily coming out because it is on February 1st, and we really do want to make it a wild success this year. So if you haven't bought your tickets, buy your tickets. If you don't know where to buy them, I promise you, you'll be bombarded with another 27,347 messages that will give you the links to buy your tickets. I also want to encourage as many staff as possible. We have a staff 50 discount, which allows for staff to come for half the price of them. We also and this is a new thing, so it's really important for us to all hear this. If there are people that really, really want to come to the gala, and the $75 is even a barrier to their attendance, we encourage them to please reach out to either me or Andriana. We have people on our sponsorship side who have donated tickets for people that are in that specific situation. We want to make sure that everybody is represented there from our school. So please do reach out to me. My email is on my subject line. You can look it up on the website, or you can just come to the office, drop by. We're happy to add you to the list. In February 2025, we'll be doing a targeted recruitment based on interest. The interest survey went out right before the break. And so we have a lot of the things that the seventh graders are looking for in high schools. So we're going to demonstrate what Odyssey High School has to offer to meet those specific needs. So we're excited about that. I think it's also eighth graders, am I correct? I think it's seventh and eighth. So look for that to be coming in February. I don't remember the exact date, though. I apologize. I think it's the 20th. Is it the 20th that we landed? I can just put the 20th on there because I don't remember. The Chill and Cheer Fest hopefully won't be as chilly. It's on March 13th, and that's the unveiling of our athletic complex to our OCS community. That's an internal one. The external one will be on April 9th. That will be a grand opening. There'll be media here and press and stuff like that, ribbon cuttings and all the hoopla, tents and bouncers, jumpers, all that. Our preview night is a very, very important night for us. It's the opportunity for our whole school to display and showcase what it can do. This is for prospective families and families that are matriculating the system. That's on February 27th. We encourage everybody to come. It'll be from 5 to 7 p.m. The reason why that is so, so important to us, number one, it has about 2,000 attendees, which is phenomenal. But the reason why it's so important is because oftentimes even our own families don't know what is happening as they matriculate through the system. Like, what does it look like moving forward? Or they could have a third grader be like, well, I wonder what happens in the high school over here. It's really important for us to be able to demonstrate all that Odyssey has to offer throughout the grade levels. So that's coming up. Look for that. Really exciting. Final application numbers. We ended up 8% above our target from last year, with almost 50% increase in kindergarten, 36% increase in sixth grade, and a 30% increase in ninth grade in applications. So obviously trending upwards in the areas that are the entry points for the school. The areas that we saw the declines are in the areas that we don't even really accept applications. They already typically have large wait lists anyway. And that was the target. I mean, that's what we were targeting in our enrollment, was to hit those specific areas.
For ninth grade, was the 30, I'm assuming 30% was higher than the increase last year, but was last year like 10% or 15 of the material?
I don't remember, but it's the highest we've had ever.
That's great.
What we really want to focus on as a team, and that's what Andriana and her team are working on right now, is the retention of our eighth graders, is making sure that we get more of our eighth graders to stay at our school. It's a big, big focus for us, hence this extra date that we have now that we added in February, where it's very targeted to the specific programs that the kids said that they wanted from us, so we can show them what we have over here, and their families for that matter.
Right.
We're now at end of quarter again. The grading period closes in two days, Friday. And Friday is a grading day for our teachers. And so the semester report cards will come out shortly thereafter. So part of that is going to be another reflection that's going to be happening next month. I will be able to highlight the Semester 1 Student Award recipients for the Philotimo Awards from the student lens across our district. And then the month after that, you'll hear about the winter staff award winners. In the November board meeting, if you remember, we announced the staff members for the fall. So we'll be announcing the next group coming up after the next board meeting. Building level updates. in the lower school, benchmark testing is in the middle of it now. It's the middle of the year benchmark testing. So I know that Bridget probably can speak to that a little bit and what that feels like. Kids are just barely back in the building, and here we are finding out what they know again. And that data is used, again, by the interventionists and the analysis to formulate the small groups and provide better supports moving forward. The first cycle of DTGSS observations were completed before the state deadline in December. I'm really proud of the team for getting all of those done. That is a lot of work. I can't stress how many observations you have to be able to do to get all of them done. We were one of the only schools that was fully compliant with 100% completion. That means that every single teacher up and down has been getting that feedback. It has been an area of focus, and in our previous staff surveys, it is an area where teachers feel like they wanted a little bit back. So we're very cognizant of that. We've been addressing that this year. For after school activities, the Winter Tennis and Drama Club, I would love to see what tennis in the snow feels like, but I'm not going to be involved. The Science Club starts next week, and the Alice Club is also part of the aftercare program. We encourage people in this community to use it. It's a really fantastic program. It's been upgraded this year. It definitely looks a lot better. A lot more offerings for kids during that scheduled time. In the intermediate school, they did welcome back assemblies to kind of renorm and get kids back and focused again. Obviously, with 17 days off of school, you can understand why. Probably need a little bit of refocus and reminders about what the protocols are. Pause for People is an exciting new thing for the intermediate school. They will now have a Penny the Dog coming to our school for 1 hour per week, so students can use their Philo tickets to cash out and spend time with Penny. And we all know that therapy, how therapeutic that can be for our students. The WIN cycle, we're working on cycle two of the WIN. Again, that's the intervention time that we've been talking about. Fourth grade team attended a class of water conservation where they acted out the water cycle, which was pretty cool STEM activity that they did. I would also say that if you had the chance, and I hope everyone enjoyed the winter concert, that they were really, really well done. Congratulations to the music teachers across the district who did that, because if you had the chance to see it, you would have seen a drastic improvement in the quality of so many. In fact, what you saw is the kids playing instruments. They were using full body responses in addition to music and singing. Somebody else wasn't just singing Christmas songs. This was it actually looked like a music school that was putting on a presentation. And that was a very concerted effort. And I would be remiss if I didn't spend time to congratulate the music departments for that work. It was phenomenal.
That's great.
Awesome.
Middle school January updates. They've hired two new school counselors, which is fantastic. Eric Shaw and Joelle Payne, welcome aboard. That's fantastic news. Dr. Pete Locke led the students to assemblies to go over second semester initiatives and reinforce expectations similar to the intermediate school. And now Building 21 is alive with construction. Thanks to our facilities team in the past months, there has been a widening of the sixth grade hallway. This is directly to address the traffic issue that we've seen in specific pressure points. So we're really happy to, provide that new expanded hallway as a result of the feedback that we've received from our middle school. The middle school is also completing their iReady diagnostics for semester two. And the BPA club took their state testing exams yesterday. So we'll find out a little bit more about how they did pretty soon. And the middle school boys basketball team won their first game of the season, 1-9 versus Stanton, which is good news as well. The middle school wrestling team has won two of their last three matches. That's fantastic. They defeated Stanton Middle and Conrad, so there you go. Sports are alive and well in the middle school. And now for some upcoming events that they're highlighting, just as a reminder, there's a formal move day on the 16th. There's obviously grading day is tomorrow. Friday, and grades will be released on the 27th, right around the corner. February is Black History Month. There will be a lot of activities throughout all the buildings to celebrate. And we also have Kindness Week Parent Camp coming up on the 20th, International Mother Tongue Day, which is an important one, and we'll be celebrating that on the 21st. And we talked about pre-humane. The last one, which I didn't talk about, is Apo Pries. Apo Pries is basically like Mardi Gras celebrations. From the high school, we're wrapping up a successful marketing period number two. We have hired a number of new staff members this month as other staff have transitioned. They include math, art, Greek, school counselors. Yay, workforce development coordinator. That's been a position that took us quite some time to get into place, but that's going to help us with specifically our CTE pathway programs, providing hands-on experience for students. So we're really, really excited about that. Academic updates in terms of what we're hearing back from. We have over 20 schools included with Baird, UD, Haverford, Howard, Penn State, Millersville, North Carolina, AT&T, Westchester, Pitt, Wisconsin, and Newman, just to name a few. We have another PBIS celebration happening. Again, this is to celebrate the climate in the school and to make sure that students who are always doing positive things and displaying positive behaviors are being celebrated. That ice skating trip is on the 23rd. And the Trident Awards will be at the end of the month, like we talked about, the semester awards are coming up. Okay, CIA, so the Curriculum Instruction and Assessment Developments. Teachers in grades 3 to 8 receive professional development with new Teacher Center during the month of October and December to help us with interim assessment blocks in ELA and math. Juliana and Jackie are serving on the CharterCon 2025 committee. This is the conference of all the charter schools. We are typically one of the main authors for the event, and we also send a lot of people that do PD for the rest of our charter community over there. The senior leadership team finished all the monthly walkthroughs in October and through the end of November, so as a result of that, we were able to provide feedback to all of the programs about their instructional practices and how the status of their operations were and the facility status. So these are critical components that we use in order to make sure that the facilities are in good working order, to make sure that the teachers are implementing the feedback that they've been given, and to make sure that operationally the school is able to function day to day, whether that means the buses arriving on time, what does the drop-off look like, what do the lunch lines look like, all of those different components. We did hire a new district coordinator, so we'd like to welcome Emily Cost to the team as well. She's our new district coordinator. And now we're in the process of doing DESA testing. Like we said, iReady coming through, and testing season is around the corner. We also are working with the new teacher center, and that's going to lead to some more outcomes as well. We continue to look for ways to support our teachers and understand how to use data to drive instruction. Also on, was that Tuesday? When did the DOE come in?
That's what
it was. Every day is long. That was yesterday, right? So yesterday the DOE came in and they were with us for half a day. And we had people coming from all of our different departments. And we were able to review teacher recruitment data, both at the state level and at our school level. We also were able to review exactly some of the areas of focus for us to be able to get better at routine. We identified two programs that we're going to be implementing at the school. One of them is from the governors. It's a governor's program. And the other one is through a grant program, which will allow us to be able to have a person from the state assigned to us to allow for us to be able to provide better resources and retention strategies for our teachers. That said, our retention from last year was over 90%. But that being said, when you have a district that has 200 some odd teachers, that's still 20 teachers. So it's still a significant impact on your program overall. So
is that a program that will continue with the change in governor and change in Department of Education?
It's as a result of that.
Okay.
It's already in place. So, yeah, our contacts are they're very – we're very in tune with those contacts. They, since we went through this last renewal and we earned the 10-year renewal, there's a lot of contacts that we have that are really good relationships that have been built. Like my personal one is Brandy Fox. She helps me with leadership retention and how to recruit more leaders and how to create pathways for them, which is what the governor's program is all about. And then we worked with other leaders as well, specifically for teacher retention, for non-teaching staff retention, and how do we make sure to create the environment that makes it the best place to work and help.
Yeah, that was one of his key talking points during the election. I'm glad to see he's able to hit the ground running. That's awesome.
Yes, it's a good thing. And they announced the nominee for the Secretary of Education as well. That's a little bit of a charter background as well. I'm going to turn it over to financial update. Let me finish. Okay. Sorry. Transportation. We're continuing to hire and train drivers, obviously consistently, increase our capacity. We're currently working with the Department of Homeland Security and the Transportation Security Administration to assess the security of all areas of our department. And this is part of an overall protocol, but over also an internal protocol as a result of all of our reviews that we've done to make sure that we are being as secure and safe as possible in our bus practices, drop-offs, everything along the line and in between. We certainly have areas to grow over there.
Right, Josh?
Too. And we are working diligently towards getting to be as secure as possible in that respect. And we're securing quotes for new buses. Obviously, some buses, we just got bad news on one bus. Some buses have to be sunsetted, so we need some new buses, and we are continuing to increase as our need continues to increase as well, and our span continues to increase, and our families are asking for us. I know that some of you maybe even heard about some of the struggles that we had with some of our bear stops and stuff like that, and being able to increase the touch points where we're picking up people, find more locations to allow our students to come here comfortably is obviously important.
As we sunset buses, will we continue to keep them for sports and other runs?
Well, we have the sunset can't be continued to keep for anything.
Okay.
So we're going to scrap it for
parts
we need for it.
Gotcha.
No, it's the cost of repair is now exceeding the cost of replacement.
Got it.
So luckily, it wasn't a route or a spare bus for us. It's
it's our pickle bus.
Yeah, the smaller bus.
Okay.
Really bummed about it. I really like that thing.
How many years have you had it? Was it new when you bought it?
No, we picked it up at the tail end of its useful life anyways.
And you're only allowed to use them for buses for, is it 5 years or seven?
14.
Oh, is it 14? Oh, wow.
If you put a route 14 years, after that it can go and spare bus.
Okay. Or we sell it to parochial school. No, I'm only kidding.
Student services update. A lot of updates in the student services department. Jackie Skirbo has been continuing to work with many of the special educators and general education educators to find support for them. She's also been able to support leadership in looking at strategies for de-escalation. This is a direct, again, response to some of the things that we've seen that have been very challenging behaviors to deal with in some instances. And Marche Springer, who has just joined as a behavioral interventionist, and I have had a chance to work with her. She's lovely, and she's helping with supporting with behavior plans and also hands-on when somebody escalates down to try to de-escalate as quickly as possible. She's a wonderful behavioral interventionist. We're happy to have her on board. Miss Calloway, who's also been doing a lot of our culture, climate stuff, she put together an anti-bullying assembly for our lower schools, and looking at the phase two implementation of the IEP initiative at the NTSF Center at the University of Delaware. Part of it is making sure that our IEPs that were created exceed best practices moving forward and that we become the best. So I thank her for her contributions to that as well. From a English language learners or multiple language learners lens, the team is participating in the Delaware Department of Education's Teacher Leadership Academy, which is fantastic because, again, it keeps us focused on improving student outcomes. And then we're also looking at improving the evaluation system for that. The finalized LEA multilingual program plan will be completed by the end of this school year. In terms of our coaching, MTSS coaching, the CIA and student services departments are working together to really focus on our tier one intervention practices. Obviously, the better we are at tier one intervention, which means the universal practice that are seen in general education classrooms, the better it is for us overall to be able to have enough support to help students that are escalated beyond tier one. So it's really, really important that our tier one interventions are where they need to be. Once tier two interventions are in place, the scheduled data reviews occur so that we can figure out what other supports are needed. We've created a problem solving team for this, for these levels, and Dr. Yerim, Ms. Mervine, Ms. Whitwell, Mr. Stewart, Ms. Lighty are all part of that team. All right, IT. We're at 90% completion. Last time we were 80% completion, so that's a 10% increase for fiber lines for all the active buildings. And we're working on the IT requirements for the athletic field, which includes the audio system that's been ordered and we're expecting it to be delivered. So it should be very interesting and fun out there with the same system that Penn State University uses. And we are also beginning capacity planning for Building 27. And we began building out the OCS University. There is an icon now in school, is it Schoology?
Classlink.
In Classlink for OCS University. What OCS University is fantastic, and it's been years in progress. It's a library, a digital library of all of our policies, procedures, best practices, videos, samples of teaching practices, different protocols for training, so that it's all housed in one place and that we can actually not have to kind of repeat our cycles over and over again. This is especially important when we have middle or after the beginning of the year hires. And we have all these things housed in one place like that. So it's been a progress for a long time. Thank you, Renee. Is she here?
I am.
Nice job.
Thank you.
We're really excited about that. It's been in the works for a long time, and we are beginning the staff planning for next year already. January 17th is on Friday, and we will be doing planning at our leadership summit on Friday for that. So, from facilities lens, there's a new rotation for that we just started. You may have heard about it, or hopefully you've seen it. Where once a week there's a deep cleaning done in every single building. This is a brand new protocol, and the way that it's being done is that the group is being pooled together. Instead of having one person in the building or two people in the building, you're taking an entire team, and once a week, so they're rotating five buildings, once a week they're in that one building, it's deep cleaning the whole building. Then move on to the next one, deep clean, move on to the next one. Our hope is that will help, again, responding to teacher feedback and survey data that we've received, that people would like to see us making sure that we're paying more attention to that. I hope that that's going to help solve some of those problems. Building 23, if you've been in it recently, maybe you noticed that it's the inside has been completely updated. It's got new paint, it's got all the logos in it, and it looks very much like Building 26 now, which is what the goal was. So we appreciate the efforts of the team to do that. And also, I'd like to shout out our facilities team for all of the work that they did to get our campus ready during the snowfall. I know that they had to be here during weekends, really tough times in the morning when it's 9 degrees, getting our campus ready so that it's safe. And I'm happy to report, knock on wood, we are incident-free during this time, which is great. Food service, the freezer doors, we're replacing the main kitchen. I know EB was on me for that for so long. So I'm glad that we're able to do that for her. And the catering preparations have begun for the gala. She has an absolute fabulous menu store for everyone. So thank you to the talented team for putting that together. And we've also initiated a test run classroom party initiative that is DOE compliant. So what is this in response to? Well, you know how kids like to have their little birthday parties in class. Problem is bringing the snacks in, they have to be compliant. So what we've done now is we offer package so the parents can just get it from us and we can give all the smart snacks and the compliant things from inside. Nice job, Evie, on that one. That's a brilliant, brilliant idea and really solves the problem long term. Fundraising, obviously, we're really focused on the gala right now. It's on February 1st from 6 to 10. Please, please, please get your tickets. We'd like to know how much food we need to cook. It helps to know how many people are going when we're doing that. The 76ers event is March 26th, okay, the day after the Greek Independence Day celebration. And I did reach out, by the way, to the mayor's office for March 25th being the day that we have the celebration. We missed moving the transition time, but I was able to find his chief of staff and already connected with him. So we have that in place too. We have a door being replaced over here in 21. There's something about positive pressure. I'm not an engineer, but there was positive pressure in that door. So when you would open that door on the side, it wouldn't completely close all the time. That was creating a large security issue for us. There's a part that's been ordered for it. Once that part's in, that door will start to close properly. It won't have to wait and check to see if it closed. And obviously, for us, that's a very important piece of safety and security that our doors can stay closed. Board approvals. I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. this Friday for the inaugural summit, an open house. And this is going to be in the Willard Center, and it's for specific school leaders to talk about the agenda for what the new plan is for our Secretary of Education, Department of Education, going forward. I'm honored to have been invited to it and select a few individuals that will be there. And I'm happy to represent both Odyssey Charter and the Delaware Charter Network at that conference. It's from 4 to 7. It's one day. I'll go on the train and come back to see. Social Studies Department, grade 6 to 12, Friday the 28th of February through March 1st. They're going to the Middle States Council for Social Studies. It's in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So we're going to ask for board approval for that. And Meredith Hoover of the American Exchange Program is going to Salt Lake City, Utah on February 14th, 17th. Okay, that's it for me.
Questions?
No. Nope.
Motion for out-of-state travel?
Yeah, I move that we approve the travel as presented for the three trips.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Motion carried. Okay. Thank you. Jalaka. All right. Jeff. Or no, I'm sorry. Dr. Ioana.
I'm ready. Kalispera se olus. Happy New Year, California, in Greek. I have 5 items for us tonight. So the first one is we started our collaboration with the Pierce College. We call it college, but it's not a college. It's K-16. So it's elementary, secondary, and the college. We started, of course, with K-12. So for the first phase, we had our second grade immersion and our fifth grade immersion. Collaborating with second graders and fifth graders from Pierce before the winter break. So the exchange this time was videos with winter songs. And also they created cards for the other kids. So we send them one day, we receive the next day theirs. And kids were very happy, but for me the most important was that they were watching the videos, and because the other kids, the Greek kids, sang all of them the same song, our kids lost interest in the song, but they started paying attention to the details in the school, and they said, they have different desks. They have different decoration. And it was so nice because this is all about, it's about cross-cultural competencies. That's how we build this connection with it. So the next phase is in March, and I will tell you more when the time comes for that. We had, second item, we had a monthly meeting for the Greek program. It was last week. It was a short meeting. Because I think everybody was still between winter break feeling and, you know, work life. So we didn't have a lot of questions. It was a short meeting. I would like to emphasize here for everybody that we changed the time of the meeting. We sit now at 6 o'clock because we had families asking for that. So from now on, it's going to be every month at 6 o'clock to visit our families.
So the third item for me is the most important because, again, with Pierce College, we start this year, and I think I told you that the last time, but now I have more details. We restart, actually relaunch the exchange students program. So we will have a group of hopefully 15, but if we don't find 15 host families here, maybe 10 students from Pierce visiting us this March. So the date will be March 23rd to March 30th, so Sunday to Sunday. I said that yeah, they want to have kids on at their age, that's why it's a bit hard. Because I could also support somebody, but they told me that it would be better if we have students of the same age. So I'm looking at this age range. Hopefully we will find 15 families. The nice thing is that they are coming the week of the Greek Independence Day, so we will have the event with Mayor and they will experience that. And then next day we have the 76ers game. And I know they are over the moon with that. They're going to watch US American basketball in Philly. So they are very excited and we're excited too. So we start now the connection with the school about that. And then when we have a family, we will bring the families from both places together. We have a lot of work to do, but we are very excited. In about a month, February 9th, and we're going to celebrate it on the 11th, we have the International Greek Language Day. And we're going to follow the same tradition that we have our oldest immersion students take an interview every year of famous Greek. So this year we'll have Varvara Doukas. She's the theater director. She has about 30 years of experience on very successful performances in Greece. So our students, 6th and 7th graders immersion, will study her CD and they will have an interview over Zoom with her. So that's the highlight of the celebration, but of course the whole school is celebrating the Greek International Day in the classroom with many lessons, activities, and things like that. And the last one, I would like to welcome our new Greek language teacher, Ms. Faye Pangervani. We had the last minute vacancy in high school beginning of September. And as you know, it's really hard to recruit from Greece in the middle of the year. But I think many people now in Greece know Odyssey, so I have heard of Odyssey, and when the position was opened, I received many CVs, and Faye was a successful candidate. So she arrived New Year's Eve in the States, and she started already teaching, and I would like to welcome Faye, and thank you also the Russo's family, because they helped her a lot with her transition the first day in hospital. Questions?
I love that we're getting all those applications during the year. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Any questions? Now, Jeff.
Review the monthly finance report as of December 31st, 2024. Though we didn't meet for the November meeting, all of those numbers are included in this web report, so we're covering kind of 2 months at once. So revenues collected to date as of December 31st, or 6 months or 50% of the fiscal year, were $54.2 million, which represents 93% of total collected revenues for the year. Talk about the details of that in a minute. These details were pretty much as planned and discussed at this point, at the last board meeting where we thought we would be a little higher on state, a little lower on local, and that bore out with the actuals coming in December. So the final payments of funding from local districts have been processed, and the final majority of payments from the state have been processed, with adjusting funding being expected for the duration of the year for known adjustments, degree changes, and PPL payout reimbursements. In addition, the $1.6 million awarded for Longwood has been received and is in our coffers, which the funds are restricted for the construction of Building 27. Yes, that was a fun EFT. On the expenditure side, expenses to date are $27.5 million, with encumbrances of $180,000, representing 54% of the budget. And to date, $773,000 of expenses have been coded to federal funds out of the preliminarily budgeted $1.28 billion. So probably over the next month, we'll be analyzing the expenditure and revenue on the variable side to start projecting toward the final budget to be presented in the March meeting, as we've done the last 4 or 5 years. On the major capital side, Gilly's touched on most of this. The turf field project, fencing, paving, ancillary equipment represents the last remaining items. We also received the capital fund draw for the EFF approved change orders that we had approved internally here, but the funding has since been received as of today for that about $1.3 million. The speakers and cameras have been procured, and we're just waiting for delivery and install. The Building 27 project, the building cleanout and prep for construction is underway. We had been utilizing Building 27 as kind of a storage catch-all of all types of items, which have now, most of which either been donated or sent to a landfill. So we had quite a bit of that. We've also procured storage containers for furniture that we accumulated that was in good condition that we plan on utilizing again in the new building. So we have, I think, 3 storage units that are covering anything from desks, office furniture, cafeteria equipment, anything like that, that we're ready, that we've been saving for just this moment. Not orders, efficient. The mechanical engineers are continuing to review the facility to identify the HVAC best options. We've also been informed that the sprinkler aspect of the building construction can take place before anything else. Doesn't require the same type of permitting. It's more specific to the fire marshal's office. So we're beginning to solicit sprinkler contractors for that portion to get that going. So the project committee has been identified. There's still a member or two that we're looking to add, a board representative, an additional faculty member, possibly someone that is bold. And we're eyeing meeting for a week. We're eyeing meeting for the week of January 20th. Some identified members of the committee are Mr. Pappas, myself, Evan Winokur, Dino Barlombides, Renee Beamer, and Ioana Lukaku from the administrative side. On the parent representative side, we've identified and they've accepted Mike Roushouse, Jamie Liberatore, and Jen DiMichele. And the faculty side, Ms. Iliadis has been nominated. We're hoping that she'd be willing. And again, we're looking for one more member of the faculty.
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Okay. So that's it for the Building 27 update at this time. We're hoping that with that committee, that they can present a more detailed update as to the board on a monthly basis as we kind of get rolling there. Minor capital, Building 20 cafe demo reno construction was completed on December 1st. It looks like a whole new space down there. We currently have students enjoying food services in that area. Not at the moment, but during school. And that's it. Any questions?
Nothing surprising happening, right? It looks like everything's tracking pretty.
Yeah, we're going to kind of, as we get the final budget together, kind of go under the hood a little bit deeper. You know, as we've expanded both from an enrollment and a budget side, everything's bigger, mm-hmm. right? And so being able to forecast things becomes different than it was 2 or 3 years ago. So we're trying to grow with the process on that, so create a couple different ways to look at it. So I'm hoping we'll have more detailed information as we present that final question.
When you compare percent expended this year to last year, same time?
Yeah, it's about the same.
Is it
just over 50%. As I talked about in previous financial updates, it's But it's hard to look at on a year-over-year basis right now because of the – we've kind of messed with the cyclical aspect in some of the larger things. So now we no longer pay our debt service all in the month of July. It's on a monthly basis. And now we have very large capital expenditures that it appears for this year have been mostly front-loaded. It's most of the turf field. I don't think we're going to have the significant ones with Building 27 during this fiscal year, but part of that kind of remains to be seen. So that's kind of been a challenge for me personally to kind of go year over year. Well, that's way different and this is way different. Try to, you know, keep all of that in front.
Yeah. It's always a good idea to be able to see, maybe not every month.
Sure.
But every quarter at least?
Or yes. You know, it's definitely something I'm looking for to make sure that
versus prior year.
There's not a major item that we haven't been able to identify, like, oh no, what's happening here? Or that's odd that there's nothing happening there, or things like that. So it is something that I do look at, but I remind myself, you got to look under the hood because it's not the same formula. At some point, we'll get back to that, but we've been wonky for a few years, started with the COVID funding being front-loaded and the drawdown of that, then to the debt service reconfiguration, and then now the capital project. So,
yeah, you've done a good job, though, of keeping those core expenses not getting out of control. So, like all the ancillary stuff is come and gone, but the core building, keeping them up and running.
Yeah.
You've done a very good job of maintaining that even keel. And congratulations to the both of you, because I know most of the TURFS project fell on your shoulders for preventing that mid-project or tail end of the project surprise bill. And I'm sure it's involved quite a bit of bird dogging to make sure that nothing went awry. We had the huge, you know, water thing at the front. We felt the water thing at the front, but there was nothing we could do about it. We couldn't foresee it, and we had to deal with it. But you've been able to keep all the moves, adds, and changes to a minimum. So that's phenomenal. It's hard to do on a project that size. So good job.
Any questions for Jeff? Comments?
I move we accept the monthly web report as presented.
Second. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay. Approved. Thank you. Okay. Do we have mini reports? What committee reports do we have, if any? CBOC
postponed.
Yes. You gave yours. Yep.
I don't think we have any other committees reporting.
That's it.
Go to school. So the survey. So the goal of the survey has been, and I say has been because it's been 5 years in the making. I mean, we talked about it when Elias Regas was in his first year of 2 years, and then we didn't get it done, and then the next champion didn't get it done. So I feel like we've been talking about it and not actually doing it, and that's a big problem for any group, committee, or project, is to talk about it and not actually accomplish it, because in your mind you think it's further along than it really is, and you feel like you've talked to more people than you really may have, simply because you have. It's just the participants changed over the years. So the goal for the survey from the board was to get a temperature and feeling for an anonymous group of the staff, teachers, employees, to get a feel for how they're feeling without any blowback, no direct response. If you tell me your life story, nothing happens to it. If you give me this long, horrible story about this horrible interaction with one person, nothing would fall back on them. Also, the wonderful tales of, hey, you know, this person does a wonderful job and they never really get recognized. But also how people are interacting, but in an anonymous way. So it gives the people filling out the survey the idea of anonymity, which on the internet is a bad thing because people tend to use it for bullying and hit and run. But our goal was to be able to get an unfiltered response from our community. We know there's going to be highs and lows. And just like the skating judges will throw out the highs and lows, because you're always going to have your squeaky wheel and barrel. I'm going to assume everybody else can still hear me. So that was the goal of the survey. We put it together, and I honestly, because we've talked about it so many times, I thought we'd shared it with the board. And if you hooked me up to a lie detector, I'd probably pass. But clearly we didn't. So I apologize to all of our fellow board members that we didn't share the final draft. So we could have tweaked the wording. We should have changed the verbiage. We should have done this. But the goal and the background was always altruistic. We really just wanted to find out how things are going. The administration does routine surveys of the community far better than we do. They get the demographic data. They get how many of this group and that group so that they can compare stuff. It'd be nice if we could get that. We didn't want to get that kind of detail because we wanted to really maintain the anonymity of the responses. And the goal was to take all those responses from the questions and most importantly, the open-ended sections, because we looked at a lot of school and charter surveys. And one of the things that many of them were missing were just the open fields. You know, maybe the question was weird and you couldn't figure out how to answer it. It wasn't a yes, no, it wasn't a 1, 2, 3. Can you just give me a field to enter in? So that's why this survey had more areas for open-ended discussion. So you could put a comment, hey, I didn't like this question, or here's my life story. Whatever you felt was important to you, we want to hear. Because the people who have a passion about the school will be the ones filling out the application. I mean, the survey. The people who don't care, the people who are like, life's fine, I'm good. You know, I don't really, because it's not a short survey. It's 104 questions. So it takes some time. Even running through it myself, because I wanted to actually see how it tracked, it wasn't a short one. And I had to set aside time to actually do it, which is, again, why it took an extra 2 months after it was put together before we actually got it out. So during all that time, again, I would swear we talked to everybody, but we clearly didn't. And to the board, we apologize. I say we, I mean,
no, I'll say it too. Like we wanted to represent, it's anonymous, but also representative. We tend to hear emails from one person with one point of view, and it's usually really, really good or really, really bad. And we don't often get the opportunity to get a big sample. So I think what we did do was ask for input on what folks wanted included. What we didn't do was then go back with the end survey and say, here's what it is. But to your point, I think you shared a lot of really good information today on what we're seeing, which is quite helpful. And it shows a lot that's going really well. And it shows some things that we shouldn't be afraid to talk about, of things that are happening that we just need to figure out how to handle better.
And we certainly didn't mean to offend or upset anybody with any of the questions. One of the things that came up was the use of Greek. And to me, Greek is part of the school, not a nationality, not a person. It's the Greek community of the school, which really is everybody, not just those of Greek descent, those who mastered the Greek language, those who started at kindergarten, those who started at high school. It's how do we see the Greek versus the non-Greek? Because historically, thank God, not in the last years, but historically, there was a true divide. You could feel it walking in the halls, talking in the meetings. Before I was on the board as a member of AHEPA, we heard about it. So those questions were really to just gauge, is that still as obvious a problem? Is it less transparent of a problem? Or is it a problem that no one talks about and it still exists, which is the worst kind of problem? Which is why we want to kind of get a feel for the pulse. And then once we get those answers, we'll, Georgia, I say we, Georgia, because she's the data person. We'll tabulate it and we'll share it with the board, and then we'll figure out what to do with it. Because the worst thing to do would be to take a survey and do nothing with it. I mean, for 5 years, we didn't even do a survey. Now we've done a survey. Now we need to do something with it. So it's important that we take those results and turn them into actionable items so that we can improve the school. And I think what we're finding, because Georgia took a peek, is most of the responses are positive. So that's the kind of upward reaching bell curve we're looking to see. We want to hear good things about the school. We also want to know where we're faltering. Clearly, I'm far from perfect. So, you know, we're not a perfect school. So that was the impetus behind the survey. Any questions? Discussion?
Not really a question, more of a comment. Because you said you made a comment about how teachers who just like are easy breezy, live in pool, aren't just going to look at the survey, things like that. I do think that due to some of the verbiage and the way that things were phrased, there were teachers who looked at it, had feelings about how it was, and then decided not to respond. Not due to not caring or not having opinions about the issues, but had feelings about the way that it was phrased and the way that they interpreted it was not, I guess, portraying the intent that we discussed. I don't think that the intent that we were trying to do came off just by reading that survey and reading some of the phrases.
That's a shame, because perception is reality. So if that's the way they felt, then that's the way they felt. And shame on us for doing that too, putting that in that position. But hopefully, if anybody raises those points, you can ask them to fill it out anyway.
We have had 70 responses to date that were valid, meaning that they were faculty or staff and not others who decided to test it out. So I think by virtue of the fact that there were 70 responses, pretty fully complete, it's already a pretty good sampling that we got back. How many? I'm not sure. I don't know how many.
Compared to OCS Superall, how many people is that?
How many? Exactly. That was my question, too, because I don't know. So
I don't know how many people it is, but I think we have the opportunity, because there's more time left, to remind people to complete it, to, in that email, make very clear the intent behind the survey and what the intent was not behind the survey, to clarify. Wording is never going to be perfect. It was not our intent to present. Like, I'm happy to put that in there. And then, you know, if there are people who come forward who are upset, I'm happy to talk to anybody. Or Georgia's happy to, like, we're happy to discuss it. But to just make very clear, you know, wording is never going to be perfect. But this was the intent. And if you are upset about a specific question, please also be clear about that in the open-ended comments as well, because that's good feedback for us when we're doing the next service. This can't be like a one-and-done thing.
No.
Can I comment? Is it my turn?
I'm being
quiet.
Hang on, Heather.
Kind of hard for me.
You went to sleep.
So I want to begin by, first of all, 100% thanking Georgia for the work that she did.
Emma, we can't hear you.
Yeah, just give us 1 second. I don't know.
It's not you. It's our end.
It's totally us. All right. Now say something.
Hi.
Good. We got you. Sorry. The TV timed out and went to sleep, so it wasn't personal. We didn't think about the speakers in play.
So I was saying that I want to, first of all, acknowledge the work Georgia did, the effort and the time she put into this, and at a time when nobody else stepped forward. So I don't want what I say to come across as critique for her work. I do appreciate her work and dedication, and I don't for a minute question any board member's intentions behind this. I don't think anybody is serving on the board so they can harm the school. It goes without saying. The problems with the survey are, and I appreciate Ken's apology, but sending something out on behalf of the board when the majority of the board members had no chance to review it and vote on it sets a bad precedent. And I, for one, don't want to be part of that. How can I say it? I think we have to make an effort in all of our communications as a board to come across as unified. And here we are not being unified on that. In my opinion, the survey has major flaws, not just misphrasing, not things that we can fix. And if we had been given a chance to weigh on it, many of these things could be prevented. I can give you some examples. First of all, with the issue of anonymity, Ken, I'll start from that. If I wanted to answer the survey as a staff member, I'm identified from page one. You're asking me if I'm a board member. That's not anonymous. Not that I mind to sign my name under anything, but that's not anonymity, right? And people have told me that it narrows so much where you work, so you can figure out who you are.
I'm sorry, there is no question on, are you a board member?
There is. Please go back and look at it.
I will look.
If you serve on the board.
Hmm.
And there are only two of us who serve on the board.
I will check.
And further down, it's asking you if you work in both schools. Let me tell you, I'm only the only one who works in both intermediate and middle school. And these are not, Georgia, bad intentions, but had I seen that before you sent it out, I could have prevented that, right? Further down, when we are talking about conflicts, if the question would have been phrased such as, have you experienced conflicts between two groups and had stopped there, that would have been fine. But then now we are narrowing it down, conflict between those two groups. And if I answer no, logically, the next two questions I should be able to skip where it says where and if the administration or the leadership addressed it. But I cannot, because you cannot skip any questions. You have to answer them all before you can submit the survey.
And because I took a look at that section, you had mentioned it before. What I found was that, yes, that's correct. People had to move forward with the questionnaire. But most people that answered no, in fact, almost all of them, put none or not any, not applicable, NA, and then managed to move on just by putting NA. But you're right in that perhaps that should have been stated, you know.
But if you don't mind, let me finish, and then if we want to discuss it, we can discuss it. Further down where it says, do you feel there is discrimination in any of the following areas? I cannot skip any of them. I have to pick that there is discrimination in one of those specific areas. It doesn't let me skip it and move on. So it's the questions are leading. I don't know how better to explain that. It's like I was thinking, me telling my students, here, write a story on whatever you want. Pour your heart out. But this is the plot. This is the conflict. These are the main characters. I'm going to bring you one more example of the flaws in the survey. There is a question that says, most non-teaching staff and leadership are caring and respect the students. Now, let's think about that. Non-teaching staff can be bus drivers, cafeteria workers, facilities people, can be cleaning crew, leadership can be the head of school, the principals. Let's pretend now that the answer to that comes, yes, they are not respectful to the students. Who is to blame here? The head of school, the bus drivers? How do we interpret that?
There is a section of open-ended clarification.
I would like to finish, mm-hmm. Okay? In my opinion, it cannot be corrected. It has to be withdrawn. And as teacher representatives on the board, I would like my fellow board members to hear me and trust me when I tell you it has caused an uproar. Most people who find it flawed, they have not responded. I have not responded to it. I have not submitted it. We are risking something here. We have tried hard to build bridges, and now we are dividing again. Questions, unacceptable questions, such as, do you feel there is discrimination? Greek teachers are favored over non-Greek teachers. How do you take that back?
How would you answer it?
And the last thing I want to say, by withdrawing the survey, I don't think we are avoiding conversations. I don't think we are avoiding listening to feedback. I'm the first one to say we need to hear feedback. We need to have difficult conversations, but we need to collect this information in a way that is accurate, responsible, efficient, and that doesn't create divisions rather than bringing people together.
Now, I'd like to say something here because you're using very broad language and very broad generalizations. All right. You've mentioned five questions of 102 question survey. It's a 102 question survey, and you've targeted five or six questions and then said the survey is flawed as a whole, which I find interesting. We've explained certain differences, and we've also asked to rephrase and send an addendum of those five or six questions rephrased with clarifications and additional answers, opposites added, because I agreed with you on one of the questions. It was an omission, and we should have rephrased it. But to scrap the entire survey and call it flawed, no, it's not. It offers, and I saw from the answers, a great deal of valuable information from which directions and strategies and improvements can be drawn. Significant information. And the thing is, it gives us, as a board, feedback from staff at large, not just the leadership of certain divisions or the leadership of certain schools or the executive leadership. We are getting feedback from the broad range of teachers and staff, which is very valuable. And the broad picture that we get is the actual picture. It's an authentic picture of what feelings are out there. In fact, having reviewed the comments at the end of the survey, because of the letters that were sent across the school, the first one at least, having reviewed all those comments, there were at least 20, maybe more, because we had more answers come in since I had a look. There were at least 20 some positive comments thanking the board for the opportunity to express their views and concerns with recommendations, with ideas for improvement. And yes, there were a lot of positive, kudos, positive responses for the different areas that the survey reached out to them and asked for. So to wipe out a whole survey and call it flawed is a bit exaggerated. That's all I wanted to say.
If I may respond. I brought a few examples forward. The section about discrimination has 15 questions. In my opinion, all of them are wrong. I just bring forward the Greek versus non-Greek because that's what jumps. But let's say all of these questions, all of these statements, if we want to be fair, they should be phrased this way and that way. For example, male teachers are confided in more than women teachers. It should be the other way around. Women teachers, because let's face it, the male teachers are a minority. The Greek teachers are a minority. We somehow seem to be targeted.
I agree with you on that point. I agree
okay,
with
so
you.
These are 15 points.
One question
here.
That has
they are not one or two. Georgia, I want my fellow board members to trust me when I bring forward frustration that comes not just from myself. It comes from many, many staff members. I hear what you're saying, but the intention and the reality are completely different. And I don't think a lurid phrasing will fix it. And again, the major flaw in the beginning that I'm identified right away.
I think we should have the opportunity to see the comments and the top line results.
I think, remember, we can rephrase certain questions. We can also send a completely different follow-up survey And we are not required to act in any way on what we receive. So if we're receiving responses that seem like it's clear that in some way the phrasing influenced something, or we're missing, you know, the responses stop at 70, or we're only getting, I can't remember quite how you separated one building versus another or something like that, then I think we have the opportunity to follow up with an additional survey that, you know, that allows us to capture whatever we've missed or hone in more on something that comes up.
We even had responses that said, you know, you should have also asked about this because this is important to us. So there is an opportunity to ask more questions about other areas or help clarify. For example, people wanted to, in the section about leadership, they felt that they wanted to be able to comment separately on executive leadership and then the leadership of the different schools, lower, middle, intermediate, upper. So these are all valid points, and an addendum should include that discrimination. That's the wrong word. We've been using it really broadly the last few days. But this, you know what I mean.
I mean, I don't know if we are going to agree on that. I, for one, insist and bring forward again the motion to retract the survey as is, rework it, and at a later time send it out again. If you guys want to keep it, I would like a letter out to the OCS community that we did not all agree and we did not all have an opportunity to weigh in on this.
And I agree with Eva in that sentiment, specifically when it comes to if the intent is to use the information to give us an accurate picture. I don't think this is an accurate picture due to the way that it's pushing you to have an opinion just before you even answer the question. And then on top of that, there are a significant amount of people who won't answer it because of that. So now we're only getting one group of people who you're saying are saying positive things that are all have the same opinion. Well, that makes sense because they don't have any offense from the survey. They all share similar opinions, or it's the group of people.
So there was
not a broad spectrum, which is what we're trying to get. We're trying to get people from all buildings, people from different departments, people from leadership, people from.
So years ago, there was a nationwide test and nobody got a perfect score that year and no one could figure out why. And the problem was one of the math questions didn't have the right answer. So that year, no one got a perfect score. It's a flawed test, but the score is still counted. So all I'm thinking is, why don't we do the best that we can with what we admit isn't a perfect survey? Like, mea culpa, it's not perfect, but it's been 5 years of dragging heels. At least it's something. If we offended anyone, I'll sit down for an hour and a half and meet with anybody who wants to meet to say that was not our intention. I don't have a kid at the school. I don't have a drop of Greek blood in me. I have no interest in this school other than making it a good school. So that is the feeling of truly everybody on the board. No one has any ulterior motives. We don't want to take a survey and look at the questions and try and figure out who that person is. Like, that's not part of.
I don't believe that that's what's happening. But if you want the broad spectrum of opinions and input, then you're not going to get it in the survey.
But we haven't had the reclarification. So we have not either amended the handful of questions that appear to be problematic, nor have we level set with an email to everyone, both on the process of. And Ev, I'm happy to put in a reminder email, like, a little more about the process of. The fact that not everyone or that only a small number had reviewed the full thing, happy to make really clear of what the intent was and what it wasn't, and a direct ask of, you know, as you're going through this, when you're engaging with questions, please, you know, understand, like, how we were coming at it and how we were not coming at it. We won't get everyone, but you're never going to get everyone with any survey.
And we can also omit the 5 or 6 questions that have raised temperatures. We could take out the whole question on discrimination, you know, and still use, 90% of a survey that will give us good information.
If you would like to rephrase it, I think we should take out the entire question about conflict between specific groups, the entire question about discrimination. You should make it more anonymous. The question about non-teaching staff, leadership not being kind. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Let's rework it. That's exactly what I'm saying. Let's fix it and then send it out.
I think the message, should we retrieve it and then send it all out again, is not the kind of message that we want to give the staff and school and faculty. It's the wrong message.
The division on the board is also one we don't want to be going out. And the message that not all board members were heard on this is not one we want to go out.
Already out.
But it's already out. It's already out.
Yes. And again, on that, based on that alone, we should retract it. I would like to have an opinion. Anyway, I said my piece.
Did you make a motion, Eva? I couldn't, I think you did. But.
I was hoping that he's not going to get to that. But if you would like me to make a motion, I'll make a motion.
I'm not asking you to. I didn't know if you had already.
I don't think I said I would strongly recommend. I don't remember how I phrased it that we rejected. And again, no intentions are questioned. I don't question anybody's intentions.
My feeling is that let us get the top line results and present it to the board. And judge how valuable that information is.
I think 70 people have already spent a lot of time. 70 staff members have already spent a lot of time on it.
In 3 months.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just mean of the folks who engaged.
Yeah.
Have we even asked, let's say, consulted legally, we call it an anonymous survey. When we narrow it down that much, is it anonymous?
The only way we can narrow it down is if we have the intention to narrow it down.
But then why are you asking the specific questions?
It's anonymous it's anonymous in the sense that it's not internal, it's not in HR, there are no employee records. You know,
it's just FOIA. It's not anonymous. It's FOIA. It's completely FOIA. You've already mentioned that.
Yeah, but
we haven't collected. It is not. We haven't collected any email addresses or anything.
No, that's none of that's collected, and we don't have access to personnel records where we could say, okay, oh, who could this be? Who is this? That doesn't happen. These are anonymous. We're going to look at top lines, which means we're going to look at percentages of the, you know, however many respondents there will be at the end, and say, you know, 80% think the school has, you know, perfect, no issues. And 20% had these concerns in this order, you know. So I think the information we get, again, from top line aggregate data will be very useful. And it is anonymous, really, because if it's one or two people that, as you say, maybe could be seen, but the board members should never have taken this survey. They should be completely out of it. So if we miss that, we'll have to go back and double check. So that can be completely omitted from the data.
I don't think so. I'm a staff member, and I should have been able to take the survey. I have valuable input.
So
I don't think I should be omitted from the survey.
Okay. I'm just saying that whatever has been asked, we can take that group and omit it, should we want to. I'm not recommending it, okay?
Okay.
But for example, board members that are not staff, just to clarify, board members that are not staff or faculty really shouldn't have taken this survey. So that's what I meant to say, to clarify.
Okay. I'm just going to say this one thing, because we can keep arguing here forever. I'm saying to you that as your boots on the ground, I'm telling you this survey is causing division. And the answers you're going to get, like Bridget said, they're going to be one-sided. The Greek department is not going to respond. You got three responses? Good. You're not going to get more, probably. So I don't know what conclusions you're going to draw when a whole department is feeling offended and excluded now. And they're not, you didn't exclude them, but they are not going to respond to a survey that they feel it's targeting them. So you want to draw conclusions? I don't know. I don't
know. All right, Aaron has to leave.
I'm gonna turn this over to Ken because my kids are at home and I gotta go. But I'll dial back in just a second.
Renee, do you want to do
something? I have a question if I may.
Mm-hmm.
Just as someone who received the survey and was being asked to fill it out, I heard some comment earlier that about 70 some people responded, and then other people who weren't staff or real respondents responded. If it is an anonymous survey, how do we have that information? How do we know what response is real and what isn't?
We know whether responses have not been fully completed. So if they started answering and then completely stopped, we disclude those. And also we know from the initial page whether they're whatever the categories were. I don't have it in front of me, but we can separate staff from teaching staff from non-teaching staff, so we have a sense of that. And if there was a question on board members, I have to double check and go back. We could probably see who's a board member. Yes.
But
so we could see two people.
But
all I heard you share that you, for instance, received 85 responses, of which 74 were real. And that was being taken
65 responses yesterday when I had the aggregate. I got five more that came in today. And of those 65, five were excluded because the surveys were not complete.
But there's no way.
You
but
submitted without
no, you, as you work through it, that data is saved. But if you don't complete it, it's not submitted. But at no point do I know that it's Ken filling it out.
Right.
So we completely run the risk of it showing up in the student's mailbox and them filling it out.
But I can't trace it back. All the board will see is aggregate data. I won't know who you are, what you filled out. We don't ask about salaries. I won't know anything about this answer and who it belongs to.
So the only demographic information is answering the questions.
Can I ask a question? I cannot see the picture very well. How many board members are present at school?
Four.
And myself, five. So right now we don't even have quorum to make.
Yes, we do. This is Aaron. We do. I'm on the phone. This is Aaron.
Who?
Aaron.
I thought you were in. Okay. How do we proceed?
May I comment?
Absolutely. That's why I thought it was important to have this discussion, not through email board members only, but rather in the public.
I would like to comment on behalf of the entire OCS community that our organization values our community and seeks to improve constantly. We welcome any and all feedback as an organization that has been demonstrated since the moment I arrived. Prior to my arrival over here, there were no surveys being conducted. When I arrived, we contracted the number one survey company in the country for norm-referenced, criterion-referenced surveys. You can Google them, board members, right now. They're Panorama Education. We not only have data on teachers, staff, Georgia, we have data on students, and we have data on parents. And it's tracked over the last 3 years. And it's norm referenced and compared against all the other schools, charter versus non-charter, urban versus suburban versus rural, socioeconomically disadvantaged versus socioeconomically advantaged. You can create criteria and move them however you want. By subgroup, however you want them, by grade level, any of these data that you want. We can click on a question, we can see how we're trending, how we trended last year, and so on and so forth. This data has a response rate that's more than double what your data is, includes 500 of our families at least every single year, and includes our student, at least 50% of our student body. And with all of that data that we have, we share that data back out within our community, and we make decisions based on that. So any notion that there are any other reasons other than the best intentions for the school, I have to refute and say that simply is an inaccuracy. The school is constantly looking to improve and has demonstrated its constant approach to improving, and because of that, has done unprecedented things in the last 2 to 3 years that they have never seen before. And as a result of that, what I would welcome as a suggestion is that board members who seek to find out information, number one, come look under the hood and see what the data currently says, which, by the way, has been shared with board members in the past. It has not been a secret, including board members that are not in this meeting. And number two, very easily use the norm reference, criterion reference, non-biased, research-based question bank to fulfill whatever needs you want as a board. You can even create your own account that I don't have access to, that you try to have access to, but you're using an organization that's norm referenced with criterion reference components in there with the correct wording that doesn't offend and alienate certain groups, specifically one entire group of people from within our program that now we are receiving feedback on consistently. On the ground level, what I can tell you is that it's been nothing short of a nightmare. It has been nothing short of a nightmare. This is not an exaggeration. This is phone calls, text messages while I'm in the meeting right now, say this, say that, say this, say that. And this is a distraction to the school right now. It doesn't focus our mission and vision where it needs to be. And it doesn't even have consensus amongst ourselves.
I do want to reiterate two things, Elias. First of all, it's great that you have that access and do that survey and however much you pay every year. I think it's wonderful. It's a good thing. All information is a good thing. I do want to say that the research questions were an aggregate of existing school surveys throughout the country, an aggregate that looked at the four different dimensions that we were interested in gaining the pulse of. So these questions were not off the top of my head or someone else's head on the board. In fact, the survey contained all the questions from school surveys that were given to me that were held here over the last, I don't know,
they were not the panorama.
4 or 5 years.
They're not the panorama questions. I went
in fact, panorama questions were included in this survey because it is one of the access sites that I used to develop an aggregate of questions that covered
to do the panorama questions, and you were able to clearly see that the panorama questions that we have and offer every year and have 3 years worth of data is not the questions around this.
However, those questions did not, of course, cover the uniqueness of our school here. So some of the questions had to be added in order to include the unique aspects of our own schools, the Hellenistic aspects that we have here.
So would it not be of the best interest of all involved for us to use the Panorama survey in order to add those Hellenistic aspects? Through a norm reference, criterion reference, national recognized as the number one organization.
Ken?
This is Aaron. I'll text him. I think maybe the TV went off again.
Very likely, which is very disappointing.
All right. The laptop died. Eva, can you hear me okay?
We've got, yeah.
Yes, can you hear Bridget? I can hear you. It froze for a little bit, but I can hear you now.
Ken, we lost about the last 5 minutes of audio.
Oh, no, I mean, I'm on.
It was so just the last 1 minute. We heard, I think, most of
No. My question is, the most recent survey you sent out, was it the same as the one you sent out 3 years ago?
I can't tell you for sure, but you saw in the data.
No. Three data points. Very lead. No, normally not me. Very leading question. It probably isn't. The survey the board would send out tonight is going to be different than the one we already sent out. So clearly we didn't do a good job. But it's not. I'm having a hard time believing that it's so bad that we have to withdraw it.
I don't know what else to tell you to get you to believe it. You have a room full of people and two people that are respected on this board telling you that. So, I mean, if we're not even listening to each other.
I
don't know what our role is on the board if you are not listening to us on this.
Or whichever word you want to use first, I forget.
Anyway, we can carry this forever. I will make a motion to retract and revise this survey.
Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor of retracting the survey?
Retracting and revising.
Aye.
Wait. Sorry. Retract and revise or retract?
Retract, revise, and resend.
Wait, revise and resend?
Retract first and then.
Okay. All right. All in favor of retracting?
I have a question. Oh, could we discussion. Also give a choice of sending an addendum with the corrected questions that are causing concern rather than resending the whole survey, which is a lot of work.
So Eva,
I don't think
the question would be, do you want to amend your motion for a possible addendum letter or leave your motion as it stands?
I would leave the motion as stands.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Sorry. All opposed?
Nay.
We have a deadlock. 3-3.
Well, other board members have voiced opinions. They are not here to vote, but they have voiced opinions. So I don't know. Do we want to time it and to table it and rediscuss it? I don't know.
We've had a lot of opinions voiced on the comments as well, quite a few. And
I'm talking about board members
who have voted positive.
I'm not talking about comments on the survey. I'm talking about board members voicing opinions.
There's a lot of pain points that have been brought up here. And I think that as a board and as a representation of our staff and community here, I don't think that there's a reason to go against how they're feeling, but in fact, listen to what they're saying and go on ahead and revise to get a better view of how people feel. Because at this point, we're kind of going against
That's who fine.
We're supposed to represent.
I'll change my vote. We'll retract, revise, and resend.
So are we
motion,
voting?
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you.
So who wants to lead the committee to redo the survey?
I think this time there should be a committee, not just one person, because it's unfair to Georgia to carry all this weight.
It was never one person, sorry. No.
Sorry,
it was never one person.
I would volunteer Bridget and I to be on the committee.
How about we all be on the committee so we don't have this problem anymore?
Yes, and it should be open to all of them.
I was just asking who would lead.
Okay. I don't know. Look, I think there should be almost a scientific approach to a survey. I hate to say I will lead it when I have never made a survey in my life. You know?
Neither had I.
Can we work with the Panorama people and give them the questions we want them to send out? Is that an option?
You can pay $80,000, however much it is, to have a, I would say, an independent research company work it.
I just have to provide an access. Georgia, I don't know, your body language is not collaborative at this point.
She said three months of work rescinded. So
let's be careful with the body language comments, please.
Very easily set up a board account for Panorama Education, and you can have at it. And if you want training on it, come see me. I'll show you how to do it.
Great. I volunteer. I will be in touch with Elias.
I'm happy to do it. We are not afraid of feedback. We want to be the best school in Delaware, the best school in the nation. Absolutely. I have no problem moving us in that direction. But let's do it in a way where everybody feels like they're a part of the process. That's all we're saying.
The survey will not be as anonymous from Panorama. Is that correct? No. Or yet, or no?
It can be as anonymous as you may. There's so many different ways that you
can. My concern is for the staff at large.
It will be as anonymous as you choose for your different factors to be. But what it will be able to do for you, and what you have to consider when you're doing it, is that, for example, on this one, the very beginning when you have the qualifiers, and I don't want to get into the survey right now that much, but the problem was that how can you verify that a teacher is actually a teacher? How? There's no qualifier for that. You can write me or whatever you want. So then how can you actually gather real data? You cannot. You cannot verify who did the survey. That's just a matter of fact. It's the most fundamental piece in the first page. But I'm not going to get into a back and forth with the survey. We are just telling you that it could be done in a very, very easily done in a way that will give you the data that you're looking for. And we can create a board account. It can be separate. I don't have to be on it. No, none of us have to be on it, and you can do what you want. We'll provide you the training, show you exactly how to do it, get all the modules. We'll get you on the support with the people from Panorama Education, and they will help you do this whole thing. We're already paying for the service. It's not going to cost more money.
Who would like to lead the letter of retraction email?
I'll write it. This is Erin. I would also say for the 70 people who have completed it, I would like to see what we have.
Erin should.
I will write it. This is Erin. And I would like to see the results from the 70 people who have spent their time and shared with us. I would just remind us it is the duty of the board to ask, you know, questions and try to understand things. And so those people took a lot of time. And if we're worried about getting participation, I don't know if they will all redo the same amount. And so I don't want to lose. And we shouldn't be afraid of seeing what people have done. If our main concern is that people aren't participating, we should be very open with understanding what we have received from the people who already did.
So who wants to lead the letter writing for the retraction?
I will. This is Erin. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I will write it.
Who wants it run by them before it goes out?
Listen, I'm gonna send part of it for me and make their my apologies for, you know, the certain aspects of it. Do we want it from the whole board, or because it seemed like there was a problem before, which I understand. So I'm happy to shoulder the you know, explanation of process issues, and I'm happy to run by. I'm happy to send out, you know, like the phrasing of what our plan is going forward for folks to take a look at.
What is going to be the timing for this? This is the problem that we have before. We bring up things, and then there's no execution, and we'll be back with no data from no survey.
I asked for a leader three times.
Well,
I'm not pointing the finger. I'm just saying it's a genuine problem. But I think we get the letter. Aaron, do you think you have time this week to get the letter out?
I would say, Georgia, if you can, I guess, take down the working link, I should be able to send the email probably tomorrow. But we can stop, the
incoming. Stop incoming.
Perfect.
And then also do the top line of what did come in, so it's not wasted.
Is everybody okay with still using the data that we've gathered so far?
If I may recommend, can we make the data available to the entire board?
Yes, that's the idea. It always was.
Not the consolidated data, the entire data.
The comments and the percentages that came in, the pages and pages and pages and pages of 70 times 5 pages. No,
you could add board members as collaborators on them.
Just make us all co-conspirators there.
I'd be happy to present the data.
I just don't think that 70 out of however many surveys went out in total is a good
We'll have to take it with the grain of salt. We'll have to take it with the grain of salt that it is the result of a flawed survey.
The close percentages, yes, we'd have to say, okay, we don't know. This is too close. It's not statistically significant. But if on certain questions the differences are large, 80-20, 70-30, that's significant enough for that number of respondents.
So I think that is
safe. We couldn't do a breakdown.
I think that is safe to say, based on what you've reported, based on what you've seen from what has come into you, that there are more positive than negative. So I think that's the information you're seeking. You can say, okay, there's more positive than negative. Then we take this other survey and use all of the information from that when it's completely anonymous and everything that we're looking for, we can, interject in there and then use that. Because if this survey here is not going to compare to this survey here, which it won't because of discriminatory remarks that are there, it doesn't make sense to include what's said over here.
There aren't discriminatory remarks. There's questions that should have been flipped as well. So, are Greek teachers treated preferentially than non-Greek? And then it should also have said, are non-Greek treated preferentially as Greek? That's the only discriminatory that they call discriminatory in the survey.
Well, that's the big issue here. So I want to make a point to address that because that's what the problem is.
Yes, of course.
And if it was against any other subculture or group, and they would feel the same exact way. So I think that is really important to definitely retract it and definitely have a whole different one because people have already seen this and people already feel a way against it and don't want to look.
Of course, those questions, of course. Of course, that's common sense. Yeah.
Think that sometimes common sense is not common. I don't appreciate that comment because some people might feel offended by it. I just think that we should get the new survey. We saw the results we wanted to see, and I think that it doesn't add up or equal to anything that the new one will represent.
Yeah, respect people's time. They filled it out.
They spent a lot of time commenting.
We should use any of that data to make informed decisions moving forward due to everything we've talked about.
But it will help us. It will help us create the new survey.
Do you have any action items?
I just want to ask, where did those questions, where were they derived from? Where did they even come from? Why were they even included at all?
Okay, so.
Like, was that someone's personal feelings? Like, where, how did that get there?
If we could just table that discussion. Because Georgia put a lot of time and effort in, and it's impossible for her to not take it personally, even though I know you don't mean it that way. And she had a bunch of different sources to pull the questions from.
I mean, if it was something that she's heard a lot of people talking about and it was an issue, then of course, and it should be talked about. It shouldn't be hidden. But it's very offensive to have questions geared in a way that maybe it wasn't intended to look that way. Maybe it was just you know, an oversight, like it wasn't meant to be that way. However, this is how it came out. This is how it was presented. Now this is how the people feel.
Trust me. I think that was addressed in my letter.
Yeah, it definitely was not intended that way. But 3 hours later, I totally see how it could be taken that way. And your perception is your reality, and I got to respect that. So if a Greek teacher was offended by the question, then I'm absolutely sorry, because that was definitely not the intention. So I'd love a
I agree. Motion
and close the meeting.
We do.
Have some spending for the last one.
Aaron, Aaron, I hate to do this to you, but can you stay on?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, because we've got executive session to go to.
Yep.
Motion to executive session.
Look for a second.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. We'll go to executive session. We will not come back with any. Will we have a motion as a result of this executive session? I think we will, but it's a non-public. It'll be a motion that we'll need to make in public, but it's nothing we can go into in public. So if you want to stick around, you can, but all we'll do is say we're going to approve or deny the motion we talked about in executive session. So you've been here. It's 8 o'clock. So if you want to call it a night, the meeting will stay open, but we won't be talking very long.